So as I was saying, the apostles are standing together, and Peter's beginning to preach. He's beginning to talk to those present about this amazing thing that they have just witnessed, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit on those who are speaking in tongues of all kinds of men and all nations, men and women. There's remarkable language in this sermon from Peter for us in this time. And I want us to hear that together this morning. I'm going to start by quoting N.T. Wright. Pastor Janet has acquired a new commentary for us around this series to walk with this summer. And N.T. Wright is a contemporary writer. And this commentary is proving to be really good. I'm impressed. But N.T. Wright says this: imagine a moment long promised, dreamed of, planned for, mulled over, prayed for, ached for, agonized over, a moment when things would work out right at last, when hopes would be realized and good times would begin, a moment when a huge sigh of relief would give way to a huge sense of new possibilities. Now, at last, things could really start. This is how the Jews of the first century read their scriptures, end quote. And they saw themselves as a generation, the Jews did, for whom it should all come true, all the prophecy, all the hope, all that God had promised in the prophetic teaching of old. The nation of Israel would realize promises of God in their lifetime. This is the way the Jews were taught to read their scriptures. And this is the crowd to whom Peter is preaching, the people represented in the congregation on that morning after the Holy Spirit has descended. This is the same people out of which these apostles, now anointed and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, had come. Peter quotes the prophet Joel here as he begins to speak, and he captures not only the attention of the Jews that are present, but the spiritual imagination of the same, as they witnessed the power and the movement of this amazing new thing, something for which they had no explanation, but for the drunkenness, the possible drunkenness of the people there. They're acting so crazy, they didn't even think they were sober. The Jewish people, Peter among them, had been trained to wait and watch for the prophecies of God to be fulfilled, and right before their eyes, the prophecy of Joel is being fulfilled. It's happening. Traditional indoctrination mixed with skepticism would not allow these faithful pilgrims to accept the fact that those who have encountered the Holy Spirit are not who they perceive to be the holiest among them. This can't be. I know what Joel says, but this can't be it. These aren't the right folks. These are just ordinary people. They're not high priests, they're not Pharisees or Sadducees, and they are not coming out of the temple where they would have had access to the Holy of Holies. This doesn't seem right to us, they're saying. They must be drunk. Peter then speaks the words of the prophet Joel, knowing what is happening, in an effort to remind those present of what they had spent a lifetime learning and seeking. So it's purposeful that Peter pulls this prophecy from Joel. I mean, Peter in his mind has already made the link. He already knows that this is what promised. Besides, Jesus had promised this before Jesus was raised to heaven at the ascension. I will send the Holy Spirit. Will teach you everything you need to know. Will remind you of all that I have said to you. All this is coming to fruition in Peter's mind and eyes and right here in these days. Before I read from Joel's prophecy, I want to explain something else that I learned from N.T. Wright in this morning. His explanation of the phrase "in the last days" is important to the understanding of both this text from Joel and to Peter quoting it here. The phrase "in the last days" didn't point to the end of the world or to the destruction of the earth in an Armageddon kind of sense that we have come to understand it. When you hear the word the last days, we hear in the end of times, we hear what is arguably incorrect teaching about Revelation, right? We automatically go to the end of the world and the return of Christ, right? And we link these things together. But this is not what in the last days means in this place. In the last days meant the time just before the realization or the fulfillment of prophecy. It was the space between. You will see these signs just as this prophecy is being fulfilled. In the last days represents the time and space before the day of the Lord would be realized. And this is a quote again from N.T. Wright. The early Christians believed that they were living in a period of time between the moment when the last days had been launched and the moment when even those last days would come to an end on the day of the Lord. The day the prophecy is realized. Right? The Jews had come to use the name Lord for God or Yahweh because they didn't speak God's name. Peter is not just explaining the phenomenon of these people speaking in other tongues, other languages, but proclaiming the arrival of a time in history foretold by the prophets of old. This is a new day, a new time in the history of God and God's people, a new interaction with God, a new revelation of God, if you will, in this space, a new encounter. And Peter is proclaiming this by retelling Joel's prophecy in the last days. Starting in verse 17 of Acts chapter 2, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Sons and daughters, young men and old men, even slaves or servants, this is dramatically inclusive language for the day in which it was written and dramatically inclusive thought that is unbelievable for those who are hearing it. In Jewish history and tradition, only a very select few encounter the presence of God. Even among the priests, only those who are chosen to enter the holiest of places in the temple even have the possibility of encountering God, and then think looking directly at God will result in death. These are people who spell God's name with no vowels, Yahweh, so as not to sully or blaspheme the name of the Lord. 490 years before this morning in Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit has descended, Joel gives a prophecy of inclusion that may as well have read like this. I will indiscriminately pour out my spirit on everyone, regardless of lineage, regardless of gender, regardless of color, regardless of status or position or rank or age or experience. I will simply pour out my spirit on my creation at my will, using who I choose to tell my story and to increase my kingdom. God's work by God's will and through God's choices. Human sensibilities and constructs and hierarchies aside, the Holy Spirit will be unleashed upon the earth and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This morning in worship, Pastor Janet comes and speaks to us, the site pastor at Trinity Neighborhood Center, comes and speaks to us about an opportunity to be the church in that neighborhood in new ways in the future. A woman, anointed by God and called of God to preach the word. This morning, my colleague Sally Harrington sat in the praise team this morning and lifted the word. A couple of weeks ago, she came and she broke bread with you and celebrated communion because she's an elder in the church. This morning, Carrie Morton stood at this lectern and led us in prayer and worship. And it's good. These women, called of God to do as God asks them, are not excluded from the church in this day. And I praise God for that. Human sensibilities and constructs and hierarchies aside, the Holy Spirit will be unleashed upon the earth, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Oh, that this prophecy could be fully realized in our day, in our time. Oh, that we could understand the Holy Spirit at God's will, just opened up and poured out on everyone everywhere who would speak the Lord's name and seek the Lord in their life. Oh, that this powerful prophecy would be realized in our day. May this be in the last days. May we realize and understand the day of the Lord that is to come, and I pray that I get to see it. As I am reading this commentary by N.T. Wright, and he is telling us that Peter is preaching to the people who were trained to expect the fulfillment of the prophecy in their day, I'm thinking the whole time, so where have they been for the last 3 years? Why are they not picking up on this Messiah thing? Right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, those prophecies have come to be, and why? What is it that this isn't happening in their mind? Where have these people been the whole time Jesus is preaching and teaching and healing? How did these people process the news of the possibility of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah in the arrest, trial, conviction, persecution, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? If they have been trained their whole lives to expect the prophecies to come in their time, what else do they need to see? Then I realized that this is still a part of the fulfillment of the promise of God. The Messiah had come. The Lamb had been slain and God had raised him from the dead. The promise of the Holy Spirit being poured out is a continuation of God's story with God's people, and Peter is bringing people along. This series is called The Acts of the Apostles. The story continues. I believe the Holy Spirit is still being poured out among God's people, on everyone everywhere who would speak the name of the Lord. We are living the continuation of the gospel. We would just live with God, and each time we encounter God, it's a new way that the Holy Spirit is interacting with us. Those present that morning had undoubtedly at least heard about Jesus. Perhaps they had not been in Jerusalem for the Passover this year, but had come for Pentecost instead. Remember, this is pilgrim feast, pilgrimage festival. Regardless, they had heard the murmurings of this Jesus, who some were saying is the Messiah. Now the promise he had made to send the Holy Spirit, which was in line with the prophecy of Joel, is being fulfilled in front of them, and Peter is reminding them, as Jesus said, of all they had been taught. The appearance of the Holy Spirit is yet another confirmation that Jesus is who Jesus and his followers say he is. In the last days, in the time and space between the Holy Spirit beginning something new and the day of the Lord being realized around certain prophecy, this is it, and it's ongoing. It's not just once. If you close your eyes and think back about your own life, you have had encounters that you can say, I know what in the last days feels like. I know what that time and space of being unsettled and unsure feels like, and I also know what it feels like to realize the presence and power of the Holy Spirit on the day of the Lord in my life. You know. Amen, indeed. I want to continue. This is a sermon that Peter is preaching on this day, and I'm just going to continue reading some of what Peter was saying there, and I turned too many pages. I almost got ahead of us. That's not good. Starting in verse 22, he finishes with, "But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Peter continues, "People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus of the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to the cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip." Then from Psalm 110, King David said this about him, "I see the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praise. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." Dear brothers, I think about this. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God and had promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him among the dead or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now he is exalted to the place of the highest honor in heaven and at God's right hand, and the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see here today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool at your feet." So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed when Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. The Holy Spirit moved, embodied and empowered, filled, indwelt the apostles. And God spoke, and 3,000 came to Christ on that day. How thrilling it would be if 30 came to Jesus in our midst, in this place, because we understood in the last days and the day of the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit and all that was happening, and we testified to it, and even 30 were inspired to receive Jesus Christ. How cool would that be? When the word says everyone who called on the name of the Lord was saved. We are among them. We are the everyone. No matter who you are in this place, you are the everyone. And you have a story to tell. And there are hearts to be changed, and lives to be changed, and a community to be changed. Look out. If we know that, and we own that, and we move forward with confidence, knowing that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do just that. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the